Hello. On behalf of Black Hat, we are very proud and pleased and happy to have the honor of Mr. Akamura speaking on the treaty and legal environment of Japanese computer crime and laws. We look forward to his presentation and are very glad he was able to spare the time to come to our conference and speak for us. Thank you very much.
I'm Hisamichi Okamura. Recently, I talk a lot about private information. Today, I'm happy to talk about a different topic. As mentioned earlier, regarding the ratification for domestic laws in Japan for compliance with the ratification of Cybercrime Treaty. Let me talk clearly since this is being simultaneously interpreted. Regarding the International Treaty on Cyber Crimes, let me first cover this briefly. In simple terms, cyber crimes laws against this to declare what is a crime or not is one point, and secondly, how is research conducted against such crimes, and in relation to this, then internationally, how do countries cooperate between each other? And in this field, there aren't any borders between countries. Therefore, countries need to work together. And having this in mind as my basic theme, the first general, this I'd like to talk today about the this is a treaty, an international treaty, the first one in the world. This is currently already as part of the copyright law. This is made available, and as a second treaty, I think this is what we are discussing today. Regarding computer crimes, there are many conferences held of specialists, and since 1997 there's been discussion of having a treaty for this, and in August 2001 this was agreed upon in November 2001 this was agreed upon in Budapest, Hungary. And European members of the European countries had taken a main role in establishing this treaty, and Japan and the United States have attended as observers. This treaty must be recognized within the Diet for establishing a Japanese law based on this treaty. In April of 2004, this was agreed upon. Prior to the ratification, just before this, there was a very strong impact from the 9/11 terrorism in the United States, and therefore, as a means to cope against cyber terrorism, there's been much concern. In May 2002, there was a conference by the G8 members. Also in June of the same year, the G8 foreign ministers meeting, there was a recommendation by the G8 members against terrorism. As part of this, each country should ratify this treaty, or should have some framework within their domestic laws. And so things have slightly been amended due to situations. The discussion started in Europe, but currently only 4 or 5 countries comply with the ratification of this treaty. But why is Japan attempting to comply with this? Why is it trying to establish new laws? But anyway, this was agreed upon in the Japanese Diet, and the outline of this treaty is, as I mentioned earlier on, there are 3 main pillars. One is the criminal law. What is considered a crime? Secondly, why is investigation conducted? And thirdly, international cooperation for investigation. The first point regarding the criminal law, illegal access, unauthorized access, forgery, or child porno pornography distribution through the network, and crimes related to this, etc., are mentioned within this law. And secondly, regarding investigation law, any other crimes which may be caused by the use of computer systems or by collecting information via computer systems, this law can be applied. Various For example, if stored data of a computer must be backed up, otherwise if it's erased, how can it be saved? Collection of computer data a criminal may have some information on his computer, then how is that confiscated from the suspect? Also, real-time collection of computer data, etc., are various topics that have to be discussed. Thirdly, regarding international cooperation for his investigation, enables collection of clues or enabling investigation, like the Arrow virus that we talked about some years ago. The suspect at that time was within the country, was within Japan at that time. And at that time, the investigation authorities in the Philippines and worked together with the FBI, etc. And what has, how far have we come so far? Let's go over history. In Japan, the crime laws, as you know, the crime laws, these were based, these laws were first set in the Meiji era. It's been about a century since these laws were first made. And of course, we cannot trace back to this time, but at least one thing that we know is that there wasn't any advanced information network at that time. Also, the computer itself did not exist, of course. And so, information networks or computer-related crimes or penalties were not legally set. But today in Japan, as you know, computers are very popular. Especially since the 1980s, the computer market has vastly grown, and the Ministry of Justice or the National Police Agency have worked on this. For example, regarding in the past, any kind of memo or note or any kind of bill was handwritten, but now this is handled all by data. If it was handwritten, then if it was faked, then it would be legally subject to faking a piece of paper. But if it's electronic data, then this is not subject to writing something on paper. So if you're entering such data into a computer, and if there's any illegal use of the computer data, then in the laws in the early days, this was not subject to any crime. And it could have, maybe some parts of this could have been subject to the authentic laws, but even if data is handled as something extremely important, penalty such as having a suspect subject to imprisonment of maximum of 3 years, etc., this does not exist in the early days. In 1987, the crime law was amended, and for the first time, computer crimes were subject to the crime law. This is a newly established series of laws, and at this time, this is not only in Japan, but also in other countries around this time had also established similar laws. As a trend of this, Japan had also established this law. At that time, the cyber crime, as I mentioned earlier on, this was not known yet. It was simply called computer crime and was known internationally as computer crime. In 1986, this is a year before the Japanese crime law was amended. In 1986, OECD announced a report on passing laws against computer crime, and in many leading nations, similar laws were passed and established. In 1987, this was followed in Japan. Also, at the National Police Agency, the definition of what a computer crime is. In the 1990 white paper established distributed by the police, this was mentioned as anyone who, for illegal purposes, attempts to utilize a computer system. And in these days, as you might know, the internet was still an academic computer network system. So in those days, this still was unknown socially, but through business networks or public networks, such crimes had grown. For example, banks were subject to crime attacks. Also, some computer communication networks, which had started growing in those days, were subject to data attacks. But this was still at a growing stage in those days. Having this background, as I mentioned earlier, the 1987 computer crime law amendments, since this, if it wasn't for this, this law would not have been raised this time. Also, the computer crime has been, at this time, was classified into five stages. Unauthorized access was included as one category, but this really was one portion of computer crime. At least in those days it was considered so. And as an extension of this concept in Japan, we have followed this trend over the years. For example, in 1996, as you know, this is in 95, the internet had become totally privatized for business and personal use. In Japan, also 1995-96, companies like IIJ or Bitkoame, these providers had started operations. They had been established and started network operations. At that time, the police agency established an association for network security, and they had distributed a report. At this report, as one type of computer crime, networking was considered as one item among this. Therefore, network crime was not considered a major issue in these days. It was something only considered as part of computer crime in general. And in 87, with the amendment of the crime law, as mentioned on the slide, the various crimes have been clarified and defined. Let me go into some more specific detail about this. First of all, public record, illegal use of public records. For example, if you purchase, one example would be if you purchase real estate, then there will be a record, there will be a certificate of record, or if that was used for the bank loan for you to purchase that real estate. And these records are subject to this law. In the past, this was all handled on paper, but in the future, this will all be handled on as data. So if you have untruthful data contents for the records, then this will be considered a crime, and you'll be subject to prosecution. Similarly, production and sharing of electromagnetic data is also established as a law. So, for example, if you prepare any paper with a fake name, if it's actually addressed to Mr. A and written Mr. B, then that's considered a crime. But any untruthful information that you prepare, that is considered a crime. And considering this on an electronic basis is part of this new law. And so handling paper and data on the same basis was something new. Also breaking any computers or any electronic calculators, this is a very difficult law for people to understand, actually, but so if you just read the text, it's very hard to understand. So this is regarding computers and electronic data. So if you break any data or any computers, or if you store any untruthful information, or if you have any harmful commands entered into a computer, or by any other method, if you use a computer in the way it should not be used, or if you try to interrupt someone's operations by the use of a computer, then you're subject to the crime law, to penalty by the crime law. So for example, if it's a restaurant, and if you take something dirty to a restaurant, or if you take a dump truck full of stones and go and crash into the restaurant deliberately, then that is considered disruption of operations. But in the same way, you can use a computer to disrupt someone's operations, and that is considered a crime by this new law. Therefore, the computer itself, in addition to physically attempting to break the computer itself, the attempt of breaking data or trying to handle untruthful data, or to, by the method of entering harmful data, this, well, in simple terms, cracking is also included in this. For like if you go into a server room physically, and if you take a hammer and break up the computers, the equipment there, that was the previous concept. But what's mentioned here is that even without doing so, if you enter any untruthful data or any harmful data to break down the computer system, that was considered a crime. So today, this law is widely applied against network-related crimes. For example, if you have a networking screen and it's cracking is used to change the appearance of the screen. There's a TV station in Osaka, Asahi Hoso. The weather forecast visual data was removed, and instead pornographic data was inserted. This is actually a case that occurred in the past. In such case, this law is applied for a penalty against such attempts. Also, the national agencies in Kasumigasaki suffered from having their servers disturbed one after another, and apparently this was the suspect is Chinese, who was breaking into these systems to rewrite the pages. Also, by theory, DOS attacks are also subject to penalty by this law. And so, standalone computers or business network, limited business networks, the systems have changed since the internet has become commonly used. To cope with this, forgery by use of computers, this is slightly different. If anyone within a bank attempts online forgery or any crime using a computer terminal within the bank to access the bank's host computer, and therefore, even though you only have a deposit of 1 yen in a bank account, you can fake that to be 100 million yen. Then by illegally amending these records, you can withdraw the money from the bank account. And in the late 1980s, this was quite popular. There were some banks that did not exist in those days, or do not exist anymore today. There's the UFJ Bank today. Part of it was the former Samwa Bank. A female staff member of the bank was cheated by a man, and just by operating a computer system, the online system of the bank, by operating a terminal, the bank, she enabled this man to withdraw more than 100 million yen. And later ran away to a foreign country. This happened within the Samwa Bank. But at that time, if you cheat someone, then that is subject to crime. But in those days, by law in those days, the man could not be punished, or she could not be punished, because even if you cheat a computer, that was not considered a crime in those days. Therefore, computer networks used in banks becoming more popular and more utilizable, then the situation gradually changed. And in order to cope with this, not only cheating a person, but cheating a computer was also considered was considered a crime. And like the Yahoo auction is subject to some to suffering from some crimes recently. Again, this is not cheating the computer, it's computing a person. Like you would tell someone that you would sell computer parts cheaply, or you would sell some tickets cheaply, or something like that. And people would see that over the network, and they will be cheated by this false information. So, I've just been stressing the fact that this really is a law against illegally cheating a computer, but actually it's going back to cheating people using computers. Also, public and private documents to be destroyed. This is also considered an illegal act. So if anything written on paper is broken, it is subject to the crime law. But since it's new law, even if it's not on paper, if it's electronic data, it is subject to the same law. And this again is mentioning the Samwa Ginko, the Samwa Bank case I mentioned earlier on, so I won't go into depth about this. So this is about net crime, but since the privatization of the internet, since about 1995, there have been police agency reports mentioning this. Also in 1998, the police agency reported that there recommended that a network crime prevention law should be established. And along with this, the summit, it was mentioned about high-tech crime. For example, the Napoli summit in 93, organization laws, were handled in the Halifax summit the next year. This was taken into consideration. So following the Napoli summit, the Halifax summit took over this, and in 96, the Lyon summit, the chairman claimed that the conference is ready to cope against such issues. Also in the Lyon summit, regarding 40 countries submitted information regarding international crime, and so this is so the participants are still called the Lyon group. And so various reports have been prepared since then by the Lyon group, and there's a high-tech crime subgroup. And together with the European authorities, various high-tech crimes are discussed, and the Denver summit was held in 97, and it was discussed that whatever had been agreed upon in 97 at the Lyon summit must be followed upon. So computers and communications technology being hacked, this type of high-tech criminalism must be coped with. And everyone must have various skills as well as legal protection against such crimes. In December of 97, Selena called upon in the Washington DC that the G8 foreign ministers meeting was ratified. 911 in these days was still not understood. Also the Birmingham summit, the Cullen summit, but what were we doing in Japan in these days? Separately from this, there was the establishment of the law against child porn, which was established around the same time. And this is not merely related to the network, since it involves child pornography, but to produce and distribute pornography, including children's images, which is already illegal. And there are other laws to ban people from trading any sexual contents or details. And as mentioned beside here, you can see the further information. Also, in 98, there was an amendment of law for the nightlife entertainment business. And this is actually a very interesting case, but there are some adult sites on the network that provide contents for a charge over the internet, and these are subject to this law. These days, cyber porno was subject to was subject to being illegal. If you don't register or report that you're running a public business like this, it is considered illegal, and then you can understand if what you're attempting to do is actually subject to the various laws. Within Japan, many new laws were established. One is the law against unauthorized access. This was established in 1999 and was put into action in 2000. In January 2000, the continual cracking law was established. At that day, actually, I was at a conference in Osaka, just like today, and he kept receiving phone calls on his mobile, and I asked why he was receiving all these phone calls, and he says, well, Kasumigaseki is being attacked, was his answer. And so one of the staff members had to rush back to Tokyo to cope with the issue. This was during January to mid-February of this year. But anyway, this unauthorized access law, this was picked up very highly within the by law, and also there was a lot of very rude writing from the Chinese side. Also, the security hole is also subject, or if you steal someone's ID and password for access, for unauthorized access, this is also considered illegal. And this is working against this effort. Also, other laws were established at this time. If a lawyer, if an authorized person from the court allows, research can be conducted, research or investigation can be conducted. So anyway, this chart shows this concept. In Japan, the Okinawa Summit in 2000, the name cybercrime was used for the first time, and based on this, the cybercrime treaty was established. But comparing this with Japanese domestic law, the double circles are very successful. The single circles are, well, okay, acceptable, and the triangle is slightly questionable. This is a list of questionable contents. So the cyber crime international treaty, as I mentioned earlier, this has always been a big issue, and among this is the result that we have found. In spring, in the regulatory diet session, this was discussed, but not much progress was seen, and this will probably be followed up at the next non-regulatory series of diet sessions. And here it's clarified that one is free to attempt submitting something to the and do you understand this law? This is this is a law against the preparation of computer viruses. It's a very difficult name, but if you attempt to prepare computer viruses and if you break down a computer, then it's subject to the laws I mentioned earlier on. But prior to that, this law attempts to attempts for doing so prior to such actions being taken. So anyone who prepares the data and or attempts to use the data is punished at the time of preparation. So when someone uses the computer, then the use of an illegal information regarding commerce, etc., is considered a crime. Also, this is an example of a record of this crime, this law, but computer viruses, worms, etc., are still left unclarified here. So some people say that this is still very hard to understand. So who's going to be subject to punishment? To what extent? Also, if there's a security hole or not, anyone who releases something without, I'm sorry for Mr. Bill Gates, but this is what happens. Also, there's international cooperation regarding justice, and also regarding punishment against direct or indirect utilization of the ESF law. So even if you do not actually use the illegal data, even if you attempt to do so, it is considered illegal. Also, any material that you store from a computer for some purpose is also subject to this, and attempted crimes are also punished. In reality, just attempting to take such actions is already subject to this law. Also, any sexual material, any porno material to be provided to public, pornography is punished. And as I mentioned earlier, a human being is alive, and it's not considered as something, as an object. Is it a Seagate or is it an IBM that moved from Hitachi, etc.? I'm not sure, but here, the disk arrays, etc., concepts that probably people at the court have not even seen yet. These are all subject to punishment. And also, if there's any pornography material distributed by use of a computer, so if there's for example, if this graphic information included as attachment to your email, that is also subject to penalty. In Yokohama, there was a case in the past that this kind of action is actually subject to penalty by the pornographic law. And when this was questioned, he was asked, well, what is illegal contents? And the response is that anything in England, anyway, all these additional laws have been made, and investigation regulations have been changed, withholding of certain regulations, etc. Sorry, I should go back in one page, I'm sorry. For example, if you try to withhold any data in a provider, you don't want to confuse that with any other information. You want to extract the the suspect's data. That is clarified here in this law. Also, having a printout to be withdrawn, then there's understood. Also, the third is any withheld computer linked to the network for exchange of data, and if there's a contract with any rental server on the network, then as far as that server you could utilize this computer. And therefore, if a certain household was subject to confiscation, or if the computers were taken, then that means that you can pick the data in which the suspect's head. And also, for 90 days, you cannot erase data. And we insist against providers that this is done. Therefore, we cannot erase data, which prevents data being illegally erased. And illegally prepared data, this is also subject to these laws. Anyway, this goes into very much detail. But anyway, the point is, what is subject to legal penalty, what is not, or anything to be withheld or confiscated is subject to this treaty. I'm sorry, it's time now, so thank you very much.